Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Wind Down. So I am in Connecticut right now filming a movie, and I know a lot of stuff has recently hit the press, and I honestly just want to have a fun show today and not talk about that. Probably when I get back definitely I want to process that, but I'm still processing it all. And right now I'm excited to just have a nice little distraction and be here. I've got Gigi with me today.
Hello.
And oh, look who just walked in.
With my Starbucks. With extra caffeine.
That voice is, of course, Ryan McPartlin. So I am super excited to have him on the show. And we're also going to have Maria zoom in with us. But it's been really fun because I have gotten so many messages about the both of you. So I'm like super excited to just like... I'm super excited to just like, oh, wow. Okay, we're going to address... And I asked some people to... ask you guys some questions because so many people are very intrigued by both of you. And I think the first one is for Gigi because people are like, is she your nanny? Is she your sister? Is she like, who is she? What are you, Gigi? Who are you and what are you?
You know, honestly, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Jana, guys, but, I don't know. We're just...
I love how undefined it is.
I know. It's kind of mysterious, too. But I don't really consider it nannying. I kind of just hang out with the kids while Jana is away. But then we literally go and meet up with Jana.
Yeah, so, we hang out. And I will say this. Like, of all the movie sets that I've done and had the kids on, this has been the best experience because... You're just like, I mean, you hang out with me all day on set and mm-hmm. then, you know, you're so good with the kids and it's just, I see them more than I've ever seen them on a movie set because like, yeah. You actually like enjoy coming to set,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I do. It's really fun. It's interesting because I've never even...
What's something that like you realize like, oh, wow, this is how it works? Something that hasn't seen a movie set before.
I didn't realize how many people were behind the camera and how many cameras there were. I know that sounds like so basic and simple, but like there's a lot of moving parts.
I still haven't figured it out.
I mean, like, and then like
I'm always like, who's that person? Why are they here?
Y'all were What's filming on? That one scene and we had fake snow and whatever, and so I'm sure y'all saw it on Jana's Instagram story. They attacked me with fake snowballs, and Jace decided that he was going to throw a snowball on
He's the script supervisor.
He's the script supervisor, and he's, you know, really...
That's Darren. It's a very important job.
It is, and he was, like, really focused and concentrated and whatever. And
so basically what he does is he makes sure that Ryan is saying the right lines.
It's a very hard job that he has. He's always on top of it.
But he's, like, super focused, super concentrated, and Jace runs up and throws a snowball on his laptop, and this man... death stares me and is like he's just in shock, and I'm in shock too, and I start laughing, like dying laughing, and I just couldn't control it, and then he's like mad that I'm laughing, and I'm like I'm so sorry.
Go south fast.
And just so you know, because a lot of people are asking too in the comments, like, how did you meet Gigi? I actually met her. She was care.com.
oh, care.com.
she my friend Pamela, who you guys have heard on the podcast before, she found Gigi, and then it was like, can I please take Gigi with me to film this movie? Because I didn't know how long, honestly, I was going to have the kids up here, but it's just going so well that you guys are.
Yeah, I know. At first, we were like, we're not sure how long the kids are going to last, but now they don't want to go home.
Ryan, so a lot of people are saying, is Ryan your co-star? Obviously, yes, you're my co-star. Is he single? Because... Well, then they go on to say a few certain things. But a lot of them said, like, they're just so happy that, like, you know, like, you guys are so fun together and you laugh and you have a good time. So let's just address that. You are very happily married. Go mm-hmm. for it.
Yep. No, I've been married going on 19 years, I want to say.
And, I'm 19.
Yeah. This is why you're on with me. That's amazing. Yeah, but she is not my daughter.
No.
so, Yeah. And no, I'm very glad that I could be here during this time and you could have this experience, this fun experience, because we're laughing so much that I feel like there are no mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really great that, man, how many months ago did we start this process of putting it together? And
yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, Ryan, how long have you had this idea for this movie?
Oh, it's a couple of years now. Jessica Edding, our writer, Jessica Cusid Edding, she and I just sat down in a room and said, hey, we want to get her writing a Christmas movie because she's such a great writer. And we just talked about the rom-coms, the romances that we both... I'm kind of a sucker for chick flicks. I've got to be honest. So we started talking about The Notebook, Sweet Home Alabama.
I've read all of his books.
Have you?
Nicholas Sparks. Yeah.
Did you feel like you were on The Notebook set a little bit down by the lighthouse and everything?
Yeah.
Like we could have just gotten in a rowboat. It was crazy.
Yeah.
We started talking about those. And then what was the other one that, I don't want to give a story point away, so I'm not going to mention this other movie, but there was, a lot of the things that we were talking about, we just started going, what do we like about that? We started pulling different, things and going, now how do we fit that into a Christmas movie? And then it kind of organically took shape, a treatment. We pitched it. And then, when that treatment got into Jana's hands, that's when the magic began.
No. But no, I mean, I remember Zooming with, you know, you and Jess and the producers, and it's just, and at the time I was, you know, married, and we just, you know, we started like this really awesome friendship and working friendship. And
yeah, it felt like we knew each other for a long time, just over our first Zoom. It was like,
yeah, it was like instant, like kinship. Is that the word? Yeah. Like just like this instant, like, you know, friendship. And it's just been so crazy because you've been on that. There's so much that has happened since we started. And that was like, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah, probably less than that, because it's been a journey, man. It's been a real journey, because I remember getting that text from you saying that you were out of commission for a little while for the notes calls and stuff like that, that we're talking about and why. And I was like, oh, man, you know. I just didn't even know if this would go forward. I didn't know if you'd have the bandwidth and be in the headspace to move forward with something, you know, a romance, a Christmas romance with some comedic elements. And thank God you did, because I feel like, you know, during this time when everything came together, it's a little bit, I always like to call myself a blessing.
No, but I mean, like, you and Gigi both have been such a blessing on this too, because again, like, you've been like there through all of it, and like I remember calling you and just like bawling, and you were just like you sent me, you know, podcasts to listen to, and you just became like such a good friend, and I just, to be here and then feel supported, and like you're always trying to make me laugh. I mean, it's just, and then Gigi too.
I'm not always trying to make you laugh.
You're not trying, but you're naturally, you're like, I'm naturally funny. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just talk too much. And then you'll find some laughter in there somewhere.
No, but it's just, it's been really nice. And I love,
but Jana, it's also really impressive that you're doing this movie and you're so strong. It's very impressive.
It is amazing. Like I woke up today after we were working till 5 a.m. and I was like, oh man, you know, I've got maybe two things on my plate today. and one of them was trying to get a workout in, and the other was getting to Starbucks. And that was it. So one checked one, and you're like, I've already been up with kids. I got to get ready for my podcast.
Yeah,
you know, you just signed your papers the other day to, like, you know, seal the deal on your divorce. I mean, all of this stuff that you deal with is amazing, and you handle it very gracefully.
Yeah, gracefully. That's what
I mean, I had a little cry fest on set, but, you know, you guys were
you have to feel the feelings, otherwise it just feels like a normal day.
That's true.
Like, you have to go through the emotions to be stronger on the other side.
Can I just say, though, the podcast, Jana, is much nicer to me.
What are you talking about? People are going to think I'm... No, you said on my stories yesterday, there's a before midnight Jana and there's an after midnight Jana. And they're two very different people.
Very different.
But
they're very different.
I was laughing because I've seen after midnight Jana at, like, noon.
You guys, you're making me sound...
Baby, it's okay. It's just... Hanger.
No. There's a hangry Jana.
Hangry.
Uh-huh. But okay, I will say this. But I will say this, that all you have to to accomplish what you accomplish in a day, you know, at some point you got to crack the whip a little bit.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where, yeah, because there's so much, like I am like trying to do so many different things. And yeah, when I don't have food in my system, you might get a little.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I get the same way.
Gigi's here to hand me a banana. but let's take a break and then let's get Maria on. Hey, Maria.
Hi.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
So we missed you last night on the overnight.
I missed you guys too from my bed. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just talk about how you got on this film, because Ryan had a really big part in basically begging you to be a part of this movie. Go for it.
For me, Maria and I have known each other for a long time, and we just keep pumping into each other at events and parties, and I just love seeing her. I threw a touchdown pass. I want to say you might have thrown me a 2-point conversion or the other way around at a football event. And we bumped into each other at a Christmas party 2 years ago, and we just started talking about her and Kevin's love for Christmas movies. Yeah. And I said, you'd be perfect in one. Why are you not starring in a Christmas movie? And she's like, well, I've just, again, another overachiever. Maria always has so much on her plate. She's like, I haven't really gotten into that yet. And I always kept that in the back of my head. And then after Maria's mom passed, and I actually had some time to sit down and write an email to her and just share with her my sympathies, she just said, hey, you know, now that things are slowing down a little bit, I might be interested in revisiting that conversation. And let me know if you and Jana have any roles available. And I said, well, I know you're not going to take this role because, I thought that in my mind, Maria was going to be the star of one of these movies out of the gates. And she said, I'd be happy to do one of the, play your sister. And it's a really great role. It's big, but we just didn't, know if you'd want to play my sister. And she said, yes. And then we're off and running. And did I miss anything, Maria? I'm sure I missed a ton of little important beats. You're a better storyteller than I am.
No, you got it. I mean, it was funny because things, always line up for a reason, I think. And so, when Ryan sent me this beautiful letter, I made a little documentary about my parents' journey through COVID. Both of them got COVID at Thanksgiving time, and both were in separate hospitals. It was a brutal experience. I documented the whole process, and then I realized I have all this footage because I document everything. Let me put it together. So I put it together. It's called Mom, Dad, COVID, and Me. It's on YouTube right now. And Ryan had seen it and sent me this beautiful letter. Very thoughtful, long letter about his feelings about it. And I said, wow, I actually had to read it a couple of times before I could respond because it was so kind and so thoughtful. And we're going back and forth. He's telling me he's doing this Christmas movie. And boom, all of a sudden, I am now your best friend, Jana, and Ryan's sister. And obviously, I was super grateful because I have wanted to get into this space. I love Christmas. We watch these movies, Kevin and I, every year. We have so much fun, regardless of whatever's going on around us, we still try to capture that spirit. And these movies really help with that. So we had been talking about this for years to, get together and, write something or do something. And it's getting very hot, by the way. Bring just your bathing suits. And so, yeah, it was just like a perfect opportunity. And what was great was I needed to be back here with my dad. My mom just passed a little over 2 months ago now. And it was a great way to be back here with him, getting to stay here while I'm working with you guys. And I don't even think it's work. It's literally just fun. I show up for a few hours and play with you guys and that's that. So thank you guys for having me because, it was all meant to be.
Well, Maria, I mean, you have like your energy and your just like overall, just like when you walk into a room, like you light up and you're just, and you just said that your mom, we obviously know the story, but, she did pass and you still walk with such, like, I'm just curious, like how you still bring that infectious energy and that happiness and like how you got there, because it's beautiful to see, but it's like, man, it's like, I really look up to you a lot with how you carry yourself.
Thank you. Well, now you've got me crying. My mom was always like that. My mom smiled through getting diagnosed. My mom smiled through surgery. My mom smiled through everything. So I feel like in this journey, watching all the different stages of life with her, I realized how so much about myself through her. And towards the end, I was like, she told me, she's like, if something happens to me, I want you to always keep smiling. And so I just try. It's natural. It's not like I'm trying, but you know, I just know we have to put one foot in front of the other and you just got to keep on going. And you have to trust that everything is happening around you for your highest good. And this movie was for my highest good. I got to be with great people at a really difficult time. And you guys help, because you guys have great spirit and great energy. You're going through so much and you're making me so impressed with how you're handling it with kids and everything. And so we all just do our best. But you know, you can't wallow in it. You know, that's the thing, is like, life is going to happen to all of us. So you always have to keep it in perspective. There are so many people who have it worse. And without negating your own feelings, because that's a problem that I think a lot of us, you know, a trap we can all fall into is, well, someone else has it worse, so I don't deserve my feelings. No, we deserve our feelings. But it helps to have a little perspective. Like, I had my mom for 60, she was 66. Yes, she was young, but I had her for 43 years. Some kids don't have their mom pass, you know, a young age. So we just do what we got to do, but thank you. That's very kind.
I was gonna say that, you know, I didn't fully appreciate doing these movies until you hear stories about, you know, people put them on at Christmas time, because Christmas can be a really, the holidays can be very hard for people, and they want to turn to something with hope and, you know, a little bit of laughter and lightness. And the more we do them, the more, you know, I appreciate it. But then to actually film one with both of you when you've just been through your own life challenges and are still going through them, I feel like it's even hits home more than ever about how important, you know, this type of experience is.
Yeah. I mean, I know this Christmas we have something to look forward to. And I definitely have thought about it. I'm like, oh gosh, this Christmas might be tough because it'll be our first without her. But we have this, and this will be fun, and we'll laugh, and we'll have a screening party, and I'll make cupcakes and cocktails and make it a whole thing. So yeah, entertainment is what makes the world go round. And I remember when my mom was having surgery, brain surgery, I remember how much we needed uplifting content at that time and how much we relied on it in the hospital. And, you know, all the work I've done at the children's hospitals and the terminal wards, you know that their life is in that room. And they're lucky if they have a view of a window to see the outside world. That is their world. It's just, how do we survive today? And the way they survive today is by watching something like this that's going to make them smile and forget what's going on just for that 2-hour period.
Ugh. That's beautiful, man.
I'm just like over here like crying, because it's like, we're all just, we all have our, you know, we're all broken. We all have our struggles. We all have our things that we're, you know, working on. And I love how Maria, especially in the season that we're both in, that we're able to, you know, have something like this to uplift us and to be like, wow, like, you know, this is good. You know, like there's goodness in some of the broken, you know?
Yeah. And we got to lift each other.
And can I just go back real quick too, that I just love that Kevin watches these with you.
Her husband.
Your husband, yeah. Kevin, because he's such a guy's guy, you know, he's such a dude. And I love that he's into it. And I love his part. I'm not going to spoil it here, but I love his part so much in this movie. Yeah. And how it's evolved to what it is.
Oh, yeah. He's so funny.
Yeah, everyone has that to look forward
when
to.
When you were like, oh, we're expanding Nick's role, Kevin's in the car, being like, no, just the one line. I'm already having a heart attack over the one line. It's like, I'm not like you guys. It's so funny.
I think this is all just so beautiful. And it's like, again, kind of to the point where I was saying, it's like, you know, when you walk into a room, you were just so happy. And it's like everything that you've been through and, you know, currently what I'm dealing with, I'm like, wow, like you make me want to be like happier and to just be like, okay, like it's all going to be okay. And it's like, and you look at, and you don't know what people's like inner struggles are. It's like, and I don't, you know, I just asked Gigi if it was okay for me to bring this up, but it's like, you know, Gigi is so funny on stories and she's hilarious. And it's like, no one would know that like her inner story is like her dad has Alzheimer's. Yeah.
It's actually frontotemporal dementia, but Alzheimer's is like the umbrella term.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, she's dealing with that. It's like, you just never know like what people are dealing with. So it's always just like lead with love, lead with kindness. And
holidays are hard. Last year was the first Christmas without dad home, and being in the nursing home, we had to move him into assisted living, unfortunately. But actually fortunately that we got to do that before COVID, because taking care of your parent at 19 years old and my younger sister's who are 18 and 15, that really, really changes your perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I actually, to add some humor, unfortunately, into this, I broke into the nursing home last Christmas.
Yes, I would so do that. I love you.
So I was like, you know what? I have to see my dad. It's Christmas. Aww. And we had been at home, and you know, my mom, bless her heart, was trying to make it like a good Christmas for all of us, whatever. But also assisted living is really, really expensive. So our financial situation was not, it just wasn't good, but it was a great Christmas because of how happy my mom was trying to make it, and seeing her hold herself together so well and just embody something so strong and beautiful was really inspiring. Inspiring enough to go break into my dad's nursing home.
I died.
So I, it was like 9:30.
That's all I see.
I mean, you've broken into this place a few times because we keep forgetting our key.
Oh, it's so funny. I crawl around the back patio and hop the fence and then
get tell other people how to do
it. Yeah, yikes. Whatever. So I, I'm at the front door and it's locked and it's a sliding door. So I tried calling them and no one answered. And then I was banging on the door and still no one came. So I just... And then I saw someone sitting at the front desk and I looked at them and I was like, did you not hear me knocking? And they were like, you're not allowed in here. And I was like, I don't care. And they were like, okay. And I was like, can I see my dad? And they were like, no. And I was like, well, can you bring him down here? And they were like, no. And I was like, bring my father down here right now.
So whoa. Anyway.
And I brought him some gifts and whatever because my sisters couldn't go. They were just like, whatever. Yeah. You know, way too overwhelmed for the first Christmas. And, you know, I gave him PJs and a bottle of wine, and dad tried to drink the entire bottle right there in front of everyone. It was so sweet. It was really funny. But it's just, you know, it's kind of memories like that, yeah, it's a sad situation, but you know what? It has brought me to a place today where I'm stronger and more confident in myself than I ever have been in my life. And watching you and you, Maria, like you were wearing those cute jeans and that white crop top, and you walked in and you were like, hey guys, it's Maria, I'm here. And like, that is so inspiring because, you know, I didn't know your story. You didn't know mine. Jana, I think you just, just found out. But, you know, and everyone has their own broken pieces, and you could be going through the hardest thing in your life, and I could be going through the hardest thing in my life, and they're just so incomparable. You know, like, you know,
you're connected still through it. Yeah, like, you know, they might be different, but the same, you know?
Yeah. And then we all come out stronger, more beautiful, and more united in the end. And I think that's what really builds great friendships between all ages.
It does. And Gigi, it gives you it's so crazy, but it gives you such a crazy advantage at such a young age to have an empathy level that you will now carry into your future with everyone around you, because, you know, it's hard with, you know, social media now. Everyone's just like, there's such a disconnection with feeling, I think, out there. And so I think that, you know, you're going to carry yourself so much differently than maybe some of your friends, and you'll be able to teach them.
During this whole experience, I deleted Snapchat because thinking about the time, not that I could have spent with my dad, but the time I did spend with my dad, I just wish that we didn't even have phones, because I wanted to live in that moment and I could live in that one moment forever. I deleted Snapchat about 6 months ago, and it was the best thing I ever did for myself, because A, you're not constantly looking into a mirror, fixing your hair, looking at your eyebrows, your like everything, and putting on makeup just to Snapchat someone. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. And now that I don't have it, when I look in the mirror, I'm like, girl.
I think Gigi's going to get her own. I think Gigi's getting her own podcast.
I know. This. I love it.
Oh, for sure.
For her generation. Absolutely.
Maria, you're really close with Tony, because Ryan, Tony Robbins, and, you know, what's one thing that, like, he's really helped you with, or has inspired you, or, like, something that you take from his words and his whole message?
Well, I will say that when you said season earlier, it's funny, like Kevin and I kind of will crack a joke here or there. We're like, whoa, we're in a real rainy season. There's like spots of sun here and there, and we are very grateful for those moments. But if I hadn't done the work with Tony before winter kind of hit in my life, I would not have been able to handle it the way I did. And so going to those seminars, reading his books, not only did I prepare myself financially with his financial books, but I prepared myself, you know, emotionally and mentally with tools that didn't exist before. And so, you know, you're thrust into kind of this world and you grab whatever you can tool wise, but, you know, there's so many that were missing from my kit that I acquired there. And the biggest one that I talk about on my show and across the board is life is happening for you, not to you. And if you can use that tool, now there have been moments when I hear someone's story and I'm like, yeah, I don't think I can figure this one out. I don't know how I apply this tool here. It's definitely a tool, but I always say, if I could figure out how to make two brain tumors before us, not to us, then it's pretty applicable for the most part. I know there are a lot of variables, but that has helped me through every single moment. So I'm like, how something will hit, how is this happening for us, not to us? And, you know, even the saddest stuff, I just, you know, I use that tool. And there's so many more, like motion equals emotion, right? So if I'm sad, I go out and I move. And if, you know, there are different things like that. Motion equals emotion, and focus equals feeling is another really good one. So wherever we're focusing is what we're going to feel. So if you know that, focus on something good, on something positive, right? Again, that doesn't mean denying what's going on. It means you're shifting because you're choosing. You have a choice on how you want to live. You know, it's a crazy life that we have. And I think that we have a lot more choices than we remember sometimes. And so, you know, for me, I love learning and I love growing. And that's just my greatest quest, I think, in this world, is to keep on learning and keep growing. And that's why I turn my podcast into a daily experience, where I'm bringing in the best of the best healers and experts and gurus to help me learn more. I'm like, okay, I want to learn as much as I humanly can. I want to apply as much of this and build these new muscles so that when life hits, I can handle it. And so far, life's hit a few times pretty hard, and I'm able to get back up. And, you know, whether it's Tony's teachings or even like a movie like Rocky Balboa, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Maria, I have an important question for you. Have you ever considered being a therapist?
It is, in a way. Her podcast kind of is.
Which is, if you guys listening, her podcast, listen, make sure you listen to Better Together, because it's an incredible podcast as well.
What's his face song?
Better Together, Jack Johnson. There are a lot of Better Togethers now since I started. So it's Better Together with Maria Menounos. I'm on Apple Podcasts and YouTube and Spotify. But Gigi, I'll tell you something really funny. I just kind of realized that I could be one recently because my best friend, who's just a couple years behind me in this business, I will give him advice and then, you know, he'll catch up to it and he'll apply it, but he has a therapist and he started to realize everything I say, the therapist says, and I go, well, I'm cheaper. And I was like, I actually took it as such a good compliment because I was like, whoa, all right. That means I'm leading my friend in the right ways. And I'm really grateful for that. But that's because every single day on my show, you guys, I legit have the best experts in the world. And that's just becoming like through the process of osmosis. It's just in me now. So yeah.
Osmosis. That was so cute.
To echo back to what Gigi said earlier, one of the things I took away from Tony's seminar, which I was very resilient to go to, and I'm glad I did. It was life-changing. But it was making a list of your values in your life, like what you value and what, and you just have to do it as fast as you possibly can. Who, you know, who that is, what that is. And then you make a separate list. Then he stops you and makes you do a separate list of how you spend your time every day, like each day and where you put that time. And then I'll think about that all the time. And it goes back to your Snapchat conversation. I got rid of like the paper because it was giving me anxiety, all the bad news every day. I stopped watching news, period. Like I'll pick up articles and I know what's going on in the world, but I will not spend time in social media. Can be a very difficult thing. It could be used in the way you want it to be used. And if you're not using it in the positive way, I'll catch myself and I'll be like, why am I spending my time this way right now instead of, you know, bettering myself or spending my time with people I love or care about or checking in with them and seeing, you know, and where you get something from it, you know, something where you put your energy in, it comes back.
Yeah. Or even Tony, the other thing Tony taught us, which is really cool for you guys too, is, and this one I loved, is write a list of everything that gives you joy, that you can access happiness at any moment for free. So a lot of us think about like, oh, if I go on this expensive vacation, I'm going to feel happy. If I go to Disney World, I'm going to be happy. Well, that's not always accessible. And life hits like all day long, all week long, all year long. You can't be at Disney every day. So I made this list of what made me happy that was easily accessible. And I kept it on my fridge for a really long time. And it helped me so that every time I knew I was sad, I knew I could move. Movement gave me like, you know, endorphins and stuff. I love roses. So I go walk through the neighborhood where all the old homes that have old rose bushes that still smell because new roses don't smell anymore. And then I go on the sniffing tour and I'm like this psycho in the neighborhood sniffing all my neighbor's roses. Guys, it's
a She's breaking into nursing homes and you're breaking into the backyard.
Yeah, there we go. You know, playing with my dogs gives me such joy watching a sunset. So I was like, okay, here are the things. And again, you start to build that muscle. So when you know you're sad, you can either wallow in it. And sometimes there are certain times where I think wallow in it for a little bit because you need to let it out. And then there are the times where you're like, okay, what's going to give me joy right now? Oh, I can go do this very quickly and shift my energy. Shifting is such an important tool to be able to keep moving forward in life and keeping busy.
For sure. Well, Maria, thank you so much for coming on and just thank you for, you know, bringing so much joy and happiness and your spirit to set because it would not be the same without you. And we'll see you in about an hour to go jump in that pool.
I love you guys. Yes, the pool awaits. I'm barbecuing burgers. We have a fresh salad from the garden way over there.
Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, I await you all.
Okay. Well, we can't wait to see you. And Maria, just thank you again for just being you and bringing your light and sharing that with all of us.
Thank you for having it. I love you
and
guys.
And the free therapy.
You're welcome. Free therapy.
Anytime. Anytime.
Okay, bye, girl.
Bye, guys.
How are you doing, Hillary? I have not talked to you in a little bit.
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm good. I mean, I'm on set with my sister and my co-star. And, you know, we started talking about just kind of like stress, and it's interesting because I feel like a lot of people are stressing out right now about the new variant. And I got to tell you, I think I'm scared about the kids. I got an email from, you know, because Jolie's starting kindergarten this year, and they were saying like masks have to come back. And I'm just like, all of a sudden I just felt this immediate, like, just wait. I was like, no, like what, like, is this really happening again? And like, I know people are still wearing masks in some places, but like, you know, just the like, okay, I've got vaccinated. Are you vaccinated?
Oh yeah.
Are you vaccinated? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but then, you know, I've had a friend who's been vaccinated and she got COVID and she was still really sick. So I'm like, is this just like the flu and we should be, you know, like, obviously, maybe hopefully we'll be okay. But I don't know. I'm just like stressed that, like, are we going to get locked down again? Is it going to be, you know, what's disrupting. Help yeah. us?
It's so hard not to feel that way, right? I mean, it sort of just triggers this whole anxiety cycle. It's almost like post-traumatic stress, right? We just went through this whole thing, and then the possibility of having to do it again. It's almost impossible not to feel that way. I mean, I don't know the answer, given that I'm not a medical doctor. It seems possible that we might have a light version of lockdown and restriction, but from a mental health standpoint, you know, I was thinking about having this conversation with you, and I was thinking about how I'm sure some of the edicts that you've adopted over the last months are that you sort of have to go through the tricky feelings, you know, to get to the other side. And that if you try to like avoid it or minimize it or suppress it, you get in trouble, you get like other symptoms. So I think this is another one of those things that it's okay to feel stressed about it. It's okay to feel anxious about it. And even some grief about it, that the thought that there's going to be any limitations, especially with our kids. And I know that's not like the most fun message, but I think it's the one based in the greatest reality. Like this is horrid. Colleagues, friends, family members of ours are getting sick, even vaccinated. And I have little kids too. I have a 3 and a 6-year-old. And the idea of them being back in an environment where there's restrictions makes my heart hurt.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want that for, you know, for her. I don't want to have to, it's like, you know, I don't know, like wear a mask. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's not like, and I don't want them to block that. I'm like, is that going to cause issues for her to feel? I mean, I see the issues that it's caused my son. Like, when he was in, you know, lockdown the last year, it's like now he's so anxious every time we leave home. So he's always like home, home, home. And it like yes. breaks my heart because I'm like, that has to be from like, because he just felt so secure at home. And now, you know, we're doing things and it's like he has anxiety about it. Yeah.
I've been hearing this so often from families about kids feeling anxiety around social situations, leaving the home, you know, sort of interacting with other people. So normal, given what we've been through. And I've been talking a lot about what to do in the face of that. And I think it's so critical to sort of embrace our kids' feelings in those moments. Of course, they're super triggering for us. We don't want our kids to feel that way. We want our kids to feel like easy and chill and resilient and like flexible. And when we see that they're not, it's super triggering for us. We're like, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with me? What's going to happen? What does this mean long-term? What are they going to look like in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And it's like, we start catastrophizing. But my big thing is to like, lean into the feeling, and in that kind of situation, like with Jace, to like help him learn how to wait for like his ready feeling. And I know there's some logistics that you can't get around, like if you have to get to set, you have to get to set, or you got to leave the house, right? But if there's some circumstances in which there's some flexibility, sort of really leaning in and being like, oh, buddy, I hear you. You're not feeling ready to leave the house. I get it. It's been so comfy, cozy being at home, and it's tricky to leave the house now. It makes so much sense that you feel that way. And if you do have flexibility, to sort of be like, you'll know when your body's ready. Why don't we wait for your ready feeling? You let me know, sort of thing. And the more we lean in, the more they can lean out. When we try to like talk them out of their feelings or resist it, they feel alone and scared and sort of isolated with the feeling like, why can't I just push it away? What is the big deal? We're just going to the grocery store, right? And so really leaning in makes such a big difference for our kids. And I would argue shortens the like intensity and duration of the anxious state.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. You know, the way the algorithms work now, when you search anything up, like, you know, how effective the vaccine is, or if the vaccine can hurt you or your children, it feels like every site will feed you more of those articles that may not be, you know, the overall, it may be a very small statistic, but you're going to see it all the time in your face. You know, every article that, you know, somebody who got the vaccine and now, you know, has some sort of complication will be popping up in your feed. My question is, do you give advice on how to manage that? I mean, not technically speaking, but on the internet side, but how to like opt out of that and to find real information or something that can soothe your anxiety as an overall or a place to go to calm yourself.
That's what makes everything feel so suffocating. It's like everywhere you go, that's the topic. That's what's posted everywhere. And I think it's good to talk about it and, you know, weed out what to do and what not to do. And
I think it's probably a lot of the misinformation is also probably why people aren't getting the vaccine. And this is becoming such a much bigger problem. So is
so I guess like, yeah, what's the, to feel not so,
when you're looking at something, how do you not feel immediate anxiety just wave over you?
Yeah. So I have sort of two answers to that. I think like the more practical response to that is to step out of the social media context exclusively and to find more objective sources of data, like The Economist or The Washington Post, right? We really have to do that quite deliberately, you know, that we're not just listening to like CNN, we're not just listening to Fox, who tend to be, you know, biased on one side, but really actively seeking out information like empirical studies that are out there and objective data points. It's critical and so hard to do to kind of pull ourselves from the cycle of like Instagram, Facebook news that feels really compelling and hard to step out of, right? There's like a way in which it's just addictive.
And it's fear and consumption. Like they want you, the more afraid you are, the more you're going to look and they'll feed you as much as possible. And it increases anxiety. And it's a cycle, like you said.
That's right. So you really have to actively adopt a sense of like agency that you're going to take this on yourself, which is really hard to do when you're talking about something that's so such an addictive cycle. But if people are listening and thinking about it, to really like literally step away physically and make it a point, make it a mission that like, this is my narrative, this is my journey, this is my set of decisions. And like, where can I seek arguably more objective data points to arm myself with information and make decisions? And I would be really deliberate about that social media piece. There's like a way in which it feels like it's like, like your favorite worst feeling, you know what I mean? You like digest it. It's like, oh, it's like terrible to be in it, yet you can't step away kind of thing, but really forcing yourself to step away from that cycle and both seek out that information I was talking about, but take like a respite from being in that environment, which feels so heightened and feels so like, you know, there's sort of a claustrophobic feel to it.
Yeah, that's true.
I have so many other questions, but I don't think I'm ready to get on that side of it yet. So can I have you back on in like a few weeks?
Yes, of course.
Okay, perfect. I thank you for coming on and just answering a few of those. And what's the best thing just to kind of leave people with when they're starting to feel uneasy in anything that they're dealing with? Whether divorce or, you know.
Just for example. I'm not going through divorce.
Yeah, you're 19. You're as old as his
marriage. My key message is always around the notion that suppression leads to pain. And so if we suppress, ignore, dismiss, avoid our feelings, it always ends up showing up as symptoms, irritability, you know, difficult sleeping, anxiety, depression, et cetera. It will come up some other way. So whether we're getting messages from other people to like, you got this, what doesn't hurt you will make you stronger, or like, you know, the idea that like, you should be over it, you should be moving on, or from ourselves that like, I shouldn't feel this way, it is so critical to like carve out space to allow those feelings to come up and out in a safe environment. And that might include, you know, our friends or family members or professional resources like myself.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, babe. I appreciate you. And I'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes,
thank you, love.
You.
Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on the show. Did you guys have fun?
Yeah, I loved
so
it.
Fun.
I mean, you like to tell stories, Ryan, you know? I mean,
did
like,
you notice how quiet I was during this?
I was actually like, you know how you like me as this version? I like you as this version, too.
I was like, whatever you do, you're on with all these very strong women. Don't try and mansplain anything. Don't try and mansplain.
Mansplain's a thing, huh?
It is a thing.
Why is it a thing?
Well, it's just guys like to give their opinion about everything.
But
and
we
just
don't
like,
need them.
But oh, here's my question to that, though. I just like real quick. Now I'm like, now that we're there. Okay, you want to give your opinion, but also why do men think that we just always want to be right? Because I've gotten into a few things
Wait,
where
women need to be right.
Yeah, but no, we usually are right.
It's
right.
It's obvi, girl.
No, are you telling me that you think that?
I've heard before. It's like, do you just want me to like agree with you? Like, and someone says it to me, and I'm like, no. I'm like, I'm just saying, like, this is just my point of view, and I'm not trying to. I'm really trying not to push it on you, but this is just.
But like, I'm right.
Well, then, we're in this whole, you know. We're very much more woke than we've ever been.
Mm-hmm. Woke.
Yeah.
Oh, and vocab. So,
you know, as far as, you know, the shift from the oh man, I'm not going to try and mansplain this.
No, please, cuz I don't
mansplain. Why
mansplain
men
away?
Mansplain.
Yeah.
Why men mansplain?
Well, I think it's just always been a thing where guys will just share their opinion and just assume they're right because that's how it was for so many years in the history of time.
Did
you know?
Just call women over dramatic?
No, I did not. I'm just saying that they would go from their there are
kidding.
Books about
I'm
this. Men are from
time.
Mars, women are from Venus. Like, you guys are too young for that.
No, but, I remember that.
But I remember that whole thing of like trying to figure out how men communicate differently than women. And I think it comes down to that of like, you know, we were hunters and women were gatherers in a way. And there's probably some sort of testosterone filled, I want to say what this is and move on to the next thing. And, you know, I would feel like women would want to explore more of what does that mean and where we.
I like to understand it. That's why it's like. I was talking to someone. I was like, help me understand that. Because I just like, because it helps. And that's like my therapist, Gigi. But like, you know, because I want to understand it. You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
And I'm really truly not trying to be right. I just would like to understand also your point of view.
It's also like not trying to be sassy. It's just like, what, like, help me understand you.
You know, it's funny because I studied communications in college and
really
I feel like yeah and I feel like, you know, one of my favorite courses I took was family communication, which also applies to this. And the best listeners, the only thing they do is repeat back to you what you say. Mm-hmm. So if you were to say something to me and I just repeat it back to you, then you go yeah and you explain it more.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk away going, man, Ryan's a really good conversationalist, you know, I love talking to him, when all I did was just like keep you talking.
Wait, do we do that?
Well, men don't usually do that. Men don't usually listen like that.
They'll my gosh, you just admitted that men don't listen.
Like that. No, that is something that like men usually just go, okay, I'm going to say what's happening.
So women are generally better listeners?
Listen, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That. I just
because there's...
Reiterate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because really, there's layers. You guys hear layers? And men just hear what's being said.
Onions.
All right. Well, we're going to dissect this onion another day. Love you guys. Thanks for coming on. Thank you for being just a real blessing in my life. I love you both.
And thanks for, thanks for letting me into your life and mentoring me. And I've always wanted an older sister. So.
Aw, you got one.
Thanks for choosing our project.
Oh, of course. I was super pumped to work with you. And yeah. Oh my God, we didn't even talk about Chuck, but you're going to come back on after we do.
Well, can I come back?
Yeah, of course, guys.
I mean, this is a thing now. We're taking it on the road.
I know, yeah. We should start a tour.
All right, guys. Chat next week. Bye.